How you guys doing?
Are you energized? Awake? I heard there was people who hammocked and got rained on. Who was, yeah? Was that not, that doesn't sound fun at all. No, not so much. I thought hammocking was supposed to be relaxing. True confession time. It's important to confess our sins to one another. I actually slept in my own bed last night. I was here. I listened to Vivek teach the word, and I thought about staying, but that whole, like, we went to our room and found a mouse in the toilet, that was kind of the last straw. I was like, you know, I'm only an hour away from my house, and in my house, I'm pretty sure there's nothing in the toilets, so I'm going back there. So I actually got a great night's sleep. I am revived, ready to go, and I don't know about you, but I was inspired by listening to Vivek last night. Actually, I was inspired to go home and tell my daughter her secret. So I went back, and I'm like, yeah, I haven't told her our secret in a long time. So I went to Megan, and I said, hey, I have a secret. Do you want to know it? And she said, sure. So I said, I love you. And without even looking up, she said, yep. It's sinking in. I swear it is. 10, 12 more years. It's going to just put a smile on her face. We're getting there, right? Hopefully, when Vivek talked about the gospel last night, talked about how God loves us and has rescued us, there was a little bit more stirring in your heart than yep. Hopefully, it got you excited about Jesus and the fact that God speaks to us, and the biggest way he has spoken to us is through the cross, right? That he has redeemed us. His love for us is so, so good. There was a passage that I was thinking about. I had read Vivek's talk earlier, and it made me think of this passage, and this is in Romans. I just want to share this with you. It says, Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says this, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this phrase has always meant so much to me. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You guys realize that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you stand in the grace of God. I ripped this. I know you put your personal post-its on the board. I saw one that I liked, so I took it. I'll put it back. Don't worry. Someone wrote, he rescues me day in, day out, forever and ever. And I really love that because that captures that idea. There's not just this moment in time where you are rescued, that you now stand in the grace of God. You stand in a place of being rescued and forgiven, and he continues to rescue you and intercede and move. You are a new creation. You are adopted as God's child. But the question is, now what, right? Okay, that's awesome. What's next? I want to read a passage to you in this chapter 10. This is in verse 38. Jesus is in the midst of his ministry, and this is what happens. It says, now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and as she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So it's this short little scene in Jesus' ministry, and he's in the thick of it. And in Luke chapter 9, we learn going to Jerusalem. Am I doing something wrong with this? It's just going in and out. Oh, you should. I am doing something wrong? I'm not. I'm just going to get a new one. Here for Katie.
I don't know if that'll work.
Okay, no, this fixed it. Can I just yell? No, I can't just yell. I have this on. Is this a problem? That may be messing up. I don't know. We're good? I'm good. Okay. Yeah. Last time I was here, I got attacked by a bird, so this is far less distracting. So Jesus comes to this village. Luke doesn't name it. The village is Bethany. It's just outside of Jerusalem. And Martha steps up when Jesus shows up. Because in this culture, hospitality is a very big deal, right? She connects with Jesus. She initiates, welcomes him and his disciples into her house, and then proceeds to host all of them. And guys, this is a lot of work. Serving them is a lot of work. Getting things ready, food, drink, lots of activities. And when we read this passage, and maybe you've heard it before or even heard a teaching on it before, it's easy to think, oh yeah, Martha screwed up. She didn't do the right thing. But I can completely relate to her attitude in this passage. We can relate to that feeling, can't we? There's so much to do. There's so much I have to get done. In fact, a lot of us sitting here as we follow Jesus, if we're honest, we're approaching our spiritual lives with the sense of, okay, now, yes, he rescued me. Now I get a lot of stuff done for Jesus. There's a litany of things that I'm supposed to do now to be a good Christian. He wants me to get some work done. Anyone struggle with that? Anyone struggle with turning your walk with the Lord into a list of expectations that you need to now fulfill, you need to get done? Look at the effect that it had on Martha. It says in the passage she was distracted. It means to be pulled away from something. She's distracted from Jesus. She's anxious, which is this inward uneasiness. She's troubled. She's troubled. There's this outward confusion and bustle in her lives. Does that sound familiar to any of you guys? Distracted? Anxious? Troubled? Just sit for a second and think about this question. What is troubling you this morning? What's on your heart? What are the things that are distracting you? For many of us, there's a lot of things we can come up with, isn't there? Then you contrast that with Mary, and what is she doing? She's doing one thing. And it says, she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She sat and she listened. That's it. That's it. That's all she was doing, and she was commended for. To sit at the Lord's feet, what does that look like? And we could go into this a lot more. I'm just going to touch on this. I think it really involves having a posture of humility before the Lord, really believing that you need to hear his voice. You need him to come through in your life. Because we talk about that all the time, right? You can go to a retreat and be like, yeah, I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. But in your day-to-day life, do you really believe you need him to come through? You need his power. You need his wisdom, or you're not going to make it. It's not just a posture of humility, it's a posture of submission, right? To sit at the Lord's feet means you are worshiping him, and you're saying, Lord, I am awaiting your voice so I can go. I don't want to respond to you with what I think is best. I want you to tell me what's best. And it's also a posture of faith, isn't it? For Mary, a woman, to sit at Jesus' feet as a disciple was a radical thing. A radical thing. She was bold enough to believe that Jesus had something for her. That Jesus had something to speak to her about. I just want to honestly ask you this. In our culture, with all the noise, when is the last time you shut out the noise to just listen for God's voice? When is the last time that you took a step back from all that distracted and troubled and worried you and said, God, I want to hear from you? Our simple message for you this morning is this: God wants to hear from you. God, your God, wants to connect with you. Vaik mentioned this yesterday. I have 4 kids. I brought a mandatory picture of my beautiful children. I think I have them. There they are. So I got Isaac and Sam and Megan and Savita. And my oldest is Sam in the purple shirt there. And he just started as a freshman at UC. And so he is an engineer and he left and it was super sad and we cried. I know it sounds lame, but we miss him already. And I actually didn't share this with Vivek, but Vivek was leading a meeting this week and on Monday in my house, and Sam called me. And so I just got up at the meeting. I didn't tell anybody. I was just like, I'll catch up. And he was calling me, and he was calling me because he wanted to ask for advice. He wanted to ask for relationship advice, which I wasn't sure I was the most qualified for that. But I cannot tell you what joy I had getting from my son. That he was in a situation, he's like, I'm not exactly sure what to do. I'll call my dad. And I know most of you can't connect with that now. You're on the other side of that. Feel free to call your parents. It brings them joy. But as a dad, it was a moving time for me. And I started to realize, I think one of the most honoring and rewarding moments for me as a father is when my children ask me for advice, is when they seek me out. And they want to listen to my voice. In fact, I'll be honest with you, one of the most honoring and rewarding moments as a father is when my kid desires to connect with me in any way. When there's any sort of meaningful relational connection, I thought about my kids. Megan, my youngest, will just come up and snuggle. She's super affectionate. And sometimes she'll just want to sit with me, and we won't talk about anything. She just wants some affection and some love, and I love it. And my 15-year-old Isaac, he's this big, strong, athletic, smart, cool dude. And almost every time he says goodbye to me, even if it's like goodnight, he says, goodnight, I love you, Dad, every single time. And I know this is going to sound cheesy. Every single time I love it. I eat it up. I love you too, son. I love the connection. My daughter, Savita, just recently got her driver's license, that's a long story. But she failed the test somewhat miserably the first time, running over a cone that represented a human life. And I had said, hey, do you want to practice beforehand? She had said, no, I'm good. Killed somebody. Not literally, but figuratively. And then came back to me, he's like, Dad, I think I need your help. And we set up cones in the parking lot, and we did it over and over and over and over again. And I loved it. And what Vake said is really true. Because I know I feel that way about Mike. How much more your Heavenly Father loves to connect with you. I can't even imagine, because he is a much, much, much better dad than I am. Much. Did I have enough muches? Much. We believe that. We believe the creator of the universe wants to connect with you, wants to hear your voice, wants you to sit and listen for his wisdom. To hear from you. And one of the most honoring and rewarding moments as a father is when your kid desires to connect with you. So rather than me talk about it anymore, probably talk too much already, we're going to send you out to connect with the Lord. We gave you these little booklets. I just want to give you a couple things to think about. One is quiet time suggestions are in your booklet. I'm going to send you out for an hour. You may think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for an hour? If you don't know, Just give a glance at this. This is kind of old. It says read through James because we're studying it right now. We're actually not studying James as a church, but you could insert any book of the Bible there if you'd like. We would love for you to just see this time with no grand expectations of what you're supposed to do, but with expectations that your Father is going to connect and speak with you. That's it. This is time to be with your Father. Some of you are like, you know what? I don't want to be alone right now. There's things that God's stirring in my heart I want to talk about. There's some people that are just going to be here in the back. Aziz Nahas is here, one of the pastors from H2O. Josh Ortega's here. I'm just naming people even though I didn't talk to him. Megan Winters is available to talk to. Kyle Riesenberg, Dustin's back there. Kathy Borisis is back there. Listen, don't be bashful about saying, hey, I just want to process something with someone, or I'm unclear about this passage, or I want someone to pray with me, or something's on my heart. I'll be back there too, or I'll be up here. Grab somebody. Grab somebody. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. But let me tell you this. This is almost my 30th fall retreat. I know. Almost. I'm almost up to 30 in my life. I don't know a whole lot. Maybe abundantly clear at this point. But I want to tell you this. Quite frankly, in this space, God shows up. I don't know why. I don't know how. But in fall retreat after fall retreat, men and women encounter Jesus in a fresh way. And they come away from this time feeling like they've heard God's voice. And that is our prayer for you. Our prayer, quite simply, is that you would walk away from this retreat feeling like I encountered the creator of the universe in a fresh and new way. I experienced God. He spoke to me, and my faith has been renewed. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to have you go. But here's what I want you to do. At 10:50, let's say 10:50, so I'm only going to give you 55 minutes. At 10:50, I want you back here because we're going to worship again. If you hear music from afar, that means we've started. 10:50, come back here, and then I'm going to lead you guys into what we're doing next. But before we leave, let me just pray for you guys. Lord, together this morning, we believe that you have something to speak to us about. We come to you with humility. We come to you in submission. We come to you with faith. We ask you to wake us up this morning. Lord, let us set aside the things that are troubling our hearts. Let us set aside the things distracting us, and let us listen to you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.